So one of the ways I look at Scripture is that I like to try and put myself in a situation, try and figure out how in the world a person acted the way they did. And you heard the story of Thomas. How is it that Thomas didn't understand? How was he so, I lack a better word, clueless as to what his friends were trying to tell him? So what we're going to do is explore this. I'm going to be Thomas and try and walk this road with you, try and help you understand how in the world he could not believe. So I simply title this, Doubting Thomas. You know, it's a shame that a person is branded or labeled simply for stating their concerns. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about me. You might know me as Didymus. That was one of the ways they called me, or twin. You might have known me as Thomas. But most of you refer to me as Doubting Thomas. I got this label simply because I couldn't believe the unbelievable. After all, you tell me, who rises from the grave? It's not like this occurs with any regularity. I got this label because I couldn't fathom the impossible. After all, we all know that what is dead is dead. There's no life after death. And as a result of a statement I made, I'm labeled across the ages as the doubting one, more commonly referred to as Doubting Thomas. Now, if you have a few minutes, let me take this opportunity to share with you why it was so hard for me to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for giving me this chance to share my side of the story, so that maybe, just maybe, in the days to come, you may not be so harsh when you refer to me. I was one of the original 12. You know that original 12 that Jesus chose to follow him? We 12 form the inner core of apostles, those ones sent by Jesus in order to express the deep insights of the kingdom of God. To the crowd, Jesus shared just stories. You now know them as parables. To us, the 12, Jesus told us the explanation or the symbolism that went behind these parables. To the crowd, he shared a big picture of the kingdom of heaven. To us, the 12, he shared the intimate purpose of where we would fill the kingdom of God. The crowds, he fed them with food. To us, he fed us with the Spirit. We 12 were given a special responsibility. We were going to usher in the new era of the kingdom of God. Do not think for a moment, we did not know what that number 12 meant. Let's be fair, folks. We were going to be the new 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. We were going to be the ones to show forth what it meant to follow God in a deep, abiding way as we followed Jesus. This number 12 was not lost on us one bit. So you're probably thinking, why is it then that I didn't see? Since we were going to be the new 12 tribes, the new Israel, why did I not see that to usher in this new era would have to be a brand new way of doing it, which would be resurrection? Why didn't we see it? I can't speak about the others. But for me, this just didn't fit in any bit of the logic of my mind. I did not even come anywhere near the idea that the resurrection that Jesus performed was the means by which we would begin a new reign. I thought we would begin this new reign militarily. That Jesus as the Messiah means that he would come in as a victor over those forces that were oppressing us, the Romans. and that we would establish through his military victory a new nation of Israel. That was a viewpoint I had, say, for instance, when we were going to the tomb of Lazarus. Remember, this was Jesus' friend, passed away unexpectedly. We'd received word from his sisters that he was dying and that they desperately wanted him to come. And Jesus' response to that desperate plea was to wait. Was to wait until we heard word that Lazarus had died. Then, and then only, did we head back to Bethany in order to be with the family. What did I think of this? Well, I thought Jesus was looking for a golden opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to confront the forces that was in front of us, to start the revolution. We knew that religious leaders were waiting for us in Bethany. We knew that they were there to confront us. And I thought, how wonderful, using the death of a friend of Jesus to start this new era. I even voiced it. I said to the rest of the apostles, as we're getting ready to go back to Bethany, I said, let us go, that we may die with him, meaning Jesus. We were ready for this rebellion to begin. We were ready to fight. And if it meant spilling blood for Jesus, so be it. But that's not what happened. Jesus went up to the tomb of Lazarus. He didn't confront the oppressive forces of the day. He called to the tomb. He called out the name of Lazarus, and out of the tomb come Lazarus, alive. After 4 days of being dead, he was back to new life. How I missed it, that Jesus was the resurrection, I don't know. I just did. Have you ever had something in your life that you thought it was perfectly clear what you were thinking? You thought it was perfectly amazing that you thought. And then when reality set in, you found out that you were horribly wrong. We looked at the resurrection of Lazarus, but we didn't see the resurrection. You've got to realize, we were his chosen 12. We were going to start this new Israel, and we were clueless as to what he was talking about. Let me give you another example. This one occurred in the upper room, right at the end of his public ministry. We were sharing in the Passover meal. And Jesus sat down after the meal was over, and he said to us something unusual and strange that wasn't unusual for Jesus to say, something that we're like, whoop, went right by us. He said, trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go there on purpose to prepare a place for you. And since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself. And the way to where we're going is known to you. I have to tell you, none of us knew what he was talking about. Not an idea. Usually, when we had these moments of wandering that we didn't know what was going on, it was either Peter or myself who spoke up. But Peter, well, he wasn't in the emotional state to do anything about it. Jesus had just told him a moment before that he would deny Jesus 3 times in the next coming hours. And Peter's sitting there at the table, hanging his head. So that left only me to speak up, Thomas. So I shared what was on all of our hearts. I said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Once again, it's clear to you all, I didn't see it. He was referencing the resurrection. I saw, but I didn't see. I heard what he said, but I didn't hear it. And then after he was arrested and was crucified, and then killed. I couldn't see past that. I saw what they did to him. They mutilated him. They crushed him. He was dead. And when they laid him in the tomb, there was no way, no way he was coming back from that. He was dead. He was in the tomb. It was over in my mind. Our hopes and dreams that we rested on Jesus, they were crushed. Our thoughts of the new Israel that we had great plans for, they were dashed. And with Jesus dead and sealed in that tomb, I couldn't see past my pain. I couldn't see what Jesus had been trying to tell us time and time and time again. So when the 10 told me in that upper room that Jesus was alive again, resurrected from the grave, I had no place in my mind to put that thought. There was no room for it. I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. Because it was impossible. So, I said what I said. Unless I see with my eyes, unless I put my finger in the nail holes of his hands and my hand in his side, I will not believe that he is alive. How many of us have said this? How many of us have doubted the power and goodness of God? How many of us have chosen not to believe because we thought it was impossible? We forget one essential about God. With God, all things are possible. You see, I allowed my pain to cloud my judgment. I allowed my fears to remove my faith. I chose not to believe in the greatness and the goodness of God. So when Jesus appeared to me on the first day of that next week, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by my blindness. I was overwhelmed by my narrow-sightedness. I was overwhelmed with a realization that resurrection was real. And that deep thought that with God, all things are possible, even the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As I conclude, it's my hope that you do not function as I did, using only my 5 senses and my logic, because they failed me. Go one step further, folks. Use the tool that God has given to you, the greatest of all tools, the tool of faith. See with your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to acknowledge the greatness of Jesus Christ, that resurrection is available for us now and forevermore, that out of his love, God rose Jesus from the grave so that we would all, always be resurrected. Let us go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the opportunity to share great truths, to be able to acknowledge that in your love and out of your concern for us, you made the resurrection possible, and then you did it. Help us to understand, Lord God, with you nothing is impossible, but all things are possible because you're that great, but more importantly, you're that good, that you want us to be in this eternal relationship with you, all of it found in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.